And here we go. Welcome to Tales of the Whales, weekly podcast on what it's like having cancer.
And what it's like to look after someone with cancer.
Exactly. And I have the cancer. I first had cancer 25 years ago. 5 years ago it came back. And I'm in the final stages.
Yes, we're sort of can't have any more treatments or anything like that now. So now we're just having palliatives. Well, this is the palliative phase that we're doing now, which is... It's pretty wonderful, really, what the hospice doctors and the doctors are able to do.
I mean, okay, I feel slightly sorry for Tom. Tom is a mate of mine. He's also my oncologist. I've known him a long, long time. That is
a dog on your head.
Radley, the dog. Will you sit still?
He's settled down now.
Yeah,
it's fine.
He's upset. You try and force them. What is the...
prognosis is the word you're looking for.
I am. Prognosis. And he said it's very difficult.
Yes, they can't really say.
Closer to the end now than it has been. Mm. And I feel worse than I have felt. So you just got to manage it. I thought if you put a really positive attitude on, and people tell you this, if you're really positive and... laugh and, you know, do what
well,
you want to
do. Well, it's worked so far.
It hasn't done badly, but I can't get up and run away from the table, if you like, or dash to the loo. Or...
No jogging happening at the moment, no. Just a gentle shuffle with your Zimmer frame.
Why I laugh at that, I've no idea. But actually, we haven't really told the story, have we, about last Friday's trip to the studios?
We probably did because we did a podcast on Saturday.
You're right, we did. That was a little bit of a calamity. But this week
you weren't
was
feeling
fine.
So well last Saturday because Friday did really take it out of you, the journey and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you can hear today that you sound better than you did last week because you just did it from home. So it was just no panic, no pressure. Just you could just sit there and chat and doodle.
Mm. And if you're very lucky and you can still work in some way, which I am. You must.
Yes, you were quite excited about that last night, weren't you?
Yeah.
We had a lovely evening. Kelly and Lee came over with an Indian takeaway, which was very delicious. Thank you, Kelly and Lee.
Yeah, thank you, Lee, particularly a man with my own sense of humour, even if it does annoy people.
Yes, he is now banned from that Indian takeaway.
And Kelly, you're very lucky you've got two other sisters. There are three of you. You're the sort of studious one.
No, Tara's pretty buff,
Mm-hmm. You and Tara.
And Kelly was the wild one.
Well, Kelly, anything you want to know about celebrities or TV, Kelly knows.
Yeah, she's very good at that.
Yeah. So we're very lucky. All gates are covered. But I am getting very forgetful. Big problem.
I think that's probably to do with the different drugs that you're on now. So you're on quite a lot of drugs that are sort of to keep you very comfortable so that you're not in any pain at all.
No, breathing has been a real...
Breathing is your main problem. So as of yesterday, you have a fentanyl patch, which I think a lot of people would be very jealous of.
Should I? I am on the NHS, I presume, you know.
No, so that was good. That's meant to say it's just a slow release thing that will help with your breathing all through the day rather than just having the oromorph.
I did have a really strange sensation when Kelly and Lee came over with a curry. And we got
I'm wondering
to the
where
table,
this is going.
And I thought, I think I'm better.
You did say that. You said, actually, I think Tom's got it wrong. I think I'm actually fine. Which is probably a little bit of sort of the side effects of the...
I didn't mean that in a critical way, Tom, because I'm sure you're right. And no, you are right. Everything you told me about, more or less in the park of how long I have, was agreed for or agreed with by the hospice. all they can do. When I say all they can do the most amazing stuff in keeping you pain-free.
We were talking to the hospice lady and she was saying that a lot of people are sort of like terrified of the concept of a hospice because they think of them as the grim reaper. And if you're under the care of a hospice, that means that you're going to die immediately. Mm. And of course, we've been under the care of the hospice for 2 years so far. And it's been amazing. They've obviously had to step up a gear in the last month or so. But they just wonderful support, so much good advice. I wouldn't want to try and do this without their support or help, and how much more difficult it would be. Even things like, you know, it was the hospice who's prescribed the new medications for you, and then she just passes it over to the GP surgery, and the next day a man arrived at the door with it. So it's a fabulous system that works really well and instantly when you're in this kind of a situation and you need it to.
Do you know the thing that cheered me up yesterday after we'd had the Indian and Kelly and Lee and you and me sitting around chatting is we started chatting about some of the most personal things that can happen to you when you are seriously ill. And by the end of the afternoon or end of early evening, we were absolutely pissing ourselves.
It did turn into quite a hilarious conversation, didn't it?
I don't want to talk about, I don't want to even discuss, I don't even want to think about things like going to the loo or washing or...
But we were talking about something that you said you were experiencing and Kelly said, I think you should talk about that on the podcast because it's the kind of thing that no one will talk about and it might be a thing that's affecting a lot of people in your situation who might be even like thinking they're the only one or worrying about it. So did you want to talk about that or not as it's a bit
personal? Yeah, no, I don't mind anymore. Now, this is the interesting thing. I've lost what I thought was my dignity.
Well, not at all. You haven't. It's nothing to do with dignity, being honest and truthful.
No.
In fact, it's the opposite. It probably gives you more dignity.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think we might run out of battery before long, but if we do, it'll be a shortened podcast
Do you want to talk amongst yourself while I quickly run and get a charger and plug it in on an extension?
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't we
You just fill in
that
and cover for me while I scuttle off and no one will know. Don't worry, I'll be back soon.
So, quite frankly, when I said all this, all the embarrassment that I was thinking had turned into miraculous humour. And having a pee or any other bodily function...
I'm back and we're all charged up.
Oh, right. I wonder where you've gone. Good. Well, I was just explaining that you can't avoid bodily functions. And as you become less able to deal with them, I couldn't imagine anybody helping me clean myself up.
Yeah, with baby wipes. Well, they're baby wipes for grown-ups. They're big boy wipes.
Big boy wipes.
That's what I call them. I'll give you a rub down with your big boy wipes if you're good. So what triggered it all off was... I just finished mowing the lawn when you went, oh, I think there's a bit of a problem in the bathroom. And it was a blocked toilet. So I switched from my gardening mode into plumber mode. Charlie will be very proud of me.
Yeah, Charlie, she's available.
And the problem with the loo, which I did fix, was that somebody, I don't know who that could be, but I'm guessing it could be you, had put down there, probably it looked like about 3 toilet rolls, but I'm guessing it was just the one. Not on the roll still, but I've never seen so much toilet tissue down a toilet. Nothing else down there, just toilet tissue.
I did explain. It took me a while to actually explain this. But I'm not, the reason we're talking about this is these things must occur in all relationships.
It can't be just us, can it?
No. And if you don't talk about it, I mean, some people aren't going to be able to carry on, are they?
So then I was like questioning you, going like, I'm not cross or anything, but can you explain to me why you did that? Why did you put the entire toilet roll of tissue in the loo and try and flush it?
And do you want me to or do you want to?
I think you should. And you should then tell what you told me.
Well, this might not happen to everybody. I don't know because I've never discussed it before. But obviously sexual feelings disappear when you have when you're dying. And I nearly said penises disappear when you're dying, but but mine just shrank into my body quite a lot.
So basically, your dick's disappeared.
Yeah, I found it again. But to get it out, to have a pee, is quite a difficult thing. You've got to dig it out. And unfortunately, I wasn't thinking too well. And I kind of half got it out. But then I had a pee. And you know what it's like if you put something in front of it when you're having a wee.
Well, you're a bit wobbly anyway, aren't
you? Goes everywhere. So it took me, nearly killed myself, by the way. It took me a long time to mop it all up and clean it and...
With an entire... And then you put it all down the loo at the same time and tried to flush it. So...
And then I embarrassingly had to call for you.
I would have preferred you to have called for me. I would have rather cleared up the wee than unblocked the toilet, to be honest.
But I now
so
don't
that's a,
find
So that's a little
it...
handy tip for anyone in that same situation. Just call and say, I'm very sorry, I've had a little bit of an accident and no one's going to mind.
No, you'll just consider buying the rubber gloves.
I am going to get some of those blue latex ones that the nurses wear because when I had to put on the pressure sore plasters and she said, just press it in between the crack, I thought, I like some gloves like you've got on, actually.
Not me, the nurse. But, and you know, having spoken about it now, this is the third time, I actually feel better. Because I'm sure you must occur to everybody. I wonder how they're doing with going to the loo and having a wash and, you know. Don't be embarrassed that you have to take a chair into the bathroom.
No, we've got a chair in by the sink so you can sit there and have a little...
Brush your teeth.
And, freshen up and that kind of thing. And then we do intermediary bits and bobs with the big boy wipes.
But there are... You can't get away from it. There are, however brave, well, you're very brave and all that, you are going to have a time when it gets to the situation where you think, I can't, what am I doing? What can I do? How can I? Because Deanie said earlier, I mowed the lawn. Well, that's my job. So not only is she looking after me and, you know, treating bits and pieces and changing plasters, but she's now mowing the lawn.
I enjoy that. I like gardening.
I know you do.
I like gardening and cooking.
And you like cooking.
So lots of the household chores aren't really chores to me.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, and I thought I'm getting quite a bit of exercise, getting my steps in. It was sunny, getting my sun tanning done. It was, you know, multitasking.
Yeah, no, you're doing remarkably well, but it is something that you have to remember. You could have been living with somebody for 50 years and then suddenly the relationship changes and it must be a stress.
Yes, I suppose if the person who's the more active person who was... Because you normally get that in a relationship, don't you? You get somebody who's does a bit more around the house than the other one, normally the lady. Not that I'm being sexist there. So if the more active one is the one that becomes more immobile, that must be more difficult. In our situation, you were pretty hands-on. In, you were very good at... You would have been mowing the lawn and...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't normally let you have sharp or hot things because you can't be trusted, but with supervision, you could be allowed to move them.
Somebody's ringing us, look.
Oh. Well, they can wait a minute. Don't worry about it. We'll call them back in a minute. I think we've covered most things, haven't we, really, for this week?
Yeah, I think embarrassment is one that I've been worried about. More than anything else.
But as Kelly said, you might be helping people. People might be thinking, oh my God, where's my dick gone? And now they'll know that yours has gone too. It's not, it's probably not unusual. The hospice lady said, don't worry, because I was worried that we weren't, especially because your bandaged leg up to the knee and stuff. I was worried about you not having enough showers and the fact that we were just doing sort of top and tail wipes and freshening. And she said, that's absolutely fine. No one ever died of smelly armpits, were her exact words. And we haven't even got those because deodorant, quick squirt of your aftershave, fresh as a daisy.
Yeah. And the other thing you find when you're at a certain level is, and it's very nice, this is not a criticism, that a lot of people want to come and see you. And I want to see a lot of my old friends as well. But sometimes you can have too many.
You can never have too many friends.
You can never have too many friends.
Let's face it, you always say, people are coming and I'm so tired. And then as soon as they arrive, it's like, bing, and you're all Mr. Jollity and you have a lovely, lovely time. Mm. So, and then by the time I've said goodbye and seen them out, you're asleep again.
Yeah. So I am sleeping. I can't believe how I'm sleeping. And then with this new thing, I mean, I was worried. I suddenly thought I was getting better. I suddenly felt energetic and...
I think that was just psychosomatic or whatever. I don't think... Because it's a slow releasing that she said would take 24 hours to sort of see the effects of. And it was about 2 hours after we put it on that you suddenly started thinking you could skip around and you were cured. Like Lazarus.
I think the interesting thing is that people from the hospice actually understand end-of-life care and end-of-life sort of stuff more than we do, and maybe more than those people working in the NHS.
Well, yeah, because all the oncologists and people like that, they're all absolute specialists in their field and they've done an amazing job with their bit. But now it's a different team that you need because it's different skills and different knowledge.
Mm.
And so it's and we're so lucky to have them. And also the district nurses, what lovely ladies. They come twice a week now. They're so jolly. They're, you know, little rays of sunshine. Even first thing in the morning when I'm still in my pyjamas and a bit bleary, they're, Bonnie, let's have a look at your bottom.
I know. It's quite... one of the nurses, Ola, was very funny. She likes dogs. But you thought you'd bring the dogs out to introduce her, and she thought she was in the middle of, I'm having my leg... In fact, I've forgotten why I am having my leg
bandaged. Because you had a leaky ulcer.
Oh, yeah.
Like Henry VIII, you are sitting there with your leg up all bandaged.
Yeah, it's quite embarrassing, really, because I've nothing to do.
But I think the general consensus is that we're going to take the bandage off next time because it's pretty much healed up.
Mm.
And so you can just go back down to a plaster next. Progress.
What an exciting life I've turned into. With that, listen, enjoy the week and we'll talk very, very
soon.
And
guess what? I've got some of that really nice soft white bread you like for bacon sandwiches. Can I tempt you?
Right. You flipping well can. Let's go for it. Have a particularly nice weekend as well.
Goodbye, everybody.
All right. See you later.